Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First, yesterday's news. I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. There's been what appears to be a paid blowout at the Auckland City Council. We'll drill down on this shortly. Speaking of things that councils spend money on, bus shelters. They've got a dodgy one in Marlborough somewhere. We don't know how to garden anymore, and Marcus wants to have a little word about road cones. But before any of that, speaking of pay, the teachers want more pay. They probably deserve it, don't they? Here's Andrew Dickens standing in for Rachel Smalley.
The problem is, it's in the statistics that each hour we're working, we're not making any more wealth than we were last year, or the year before that, or the year before that. It's in the statistics, black and white. We are running to stand still. And it's been like this for a long time, especially since the GFC, which is coming up to 10 years. And if you talk to economists for any length of time, they'll talk on and on about this productivity issue. But they'll also tell you there's a pent-up frustration about wages that goes back long enough that it might be starting to blow. And it's everywhere, private and public sector. I was warned a couple of months ago by a guy in the finance business that he could see more and more strikes popping up in the near future because of wage pressure. Now, teachers are one of the few sectors that still have a national collective contract. So that makes their pay demands news, particularly when they say they need 14.5% more. But for all of you on individual contracts, I ask, are you happy? If you could, wouldn't you also be asking for 14.5% more? I bet you would, and I bet you'd think it was reasonable. The real question here to debate is not whether teachers deserve 14.5% more pay. Based on the cost of living and their lack of pay rises, it's probably fair. The real question is why wages in this country are so stubbornly low and why we seem powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I would like to be paid more. Unfortunately, when it comes time to negotiate that, I really don't know what it is that I do here. So it's quite hard to then quantify how much that's worth. I must try and nail that down because it's hard to describe what I do for a job, to be honest. There might be a few people at the Auckland City Council in the same boat, even though they seem to be getting paid a lot. Leighton's not happy.
How on earth can you be having one in five of the council being paid $100,000 plus? How on earth can you have 194 people in that council getting $200,000 plus? There is no way on this planet that most of those salaries are justified. None. How on earth can you have a blowout of, what was it, 43? I've forgotten the figure now, but over $40 million on the salary budget. Council annual wage bill now is $853 million. That's climbing close to $1 billion. And the mayor asked the CEO, please explain. Please explain. What's Phil Goff been doing? You haven't heard much from him, but on one hand, that's a great thing. I mean, the less we hear from the mayor, the better. But in this particular case, you've got to wonder. And don't forget, this is on top of that $423,000, whatever the figure was, severance pay for somebody that came out last Sunday, I think, or was exposed last Sunday. Totally unjustifiable. Totally. This is a council. These are public servants. And if you're still not agreeing with me, take into account what teachers are getting paid. The NZEI pay scales going up 14.5% is what they want. The top pay scale for a teacher is now 76,000, and the 14.5% would take it to 87,000, and they're demanding it. 76 to 87. That's only the top pay scale. And yet you've got, who would you rather pay 100,000 to, or 100,000 more to? Council workers or good teachers? Ask yourself that question, and if you come up with anything other than the obvious, you need to lie on a couch and have somebody take notes.
Well, I like the idea of lying on the couch. Who guessed Leighton would be up in arms about the council being paid too much? Right, I mean, it's it's really hard to feel any empathy or sympathy with councils generally, especially when they do stupid things like build bus shelters with holes in the roof, like they have done in Blenheim.
As well as being a bus shelter, it's also an art installation based on a local Māori proverb. So, you know, it's not a simple bus shelter. It's over 17 metres long. It's 5 metres wide. It seats 38 people. It's designed to be a statement as well as a shelter.
Yeah, I think I read that the architect said that the whole represents, I think, the Māori interpretation or for the Wairau Valley, or the Māori name for the Wairau Valley, which apparently means the place with the hole in the sky. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a reference to how sunny it is in Blenheim. Blenheim is New Zealand's sunniest place, and it's a reference to that, you know, there's a lot of sunshine here. And that was where the proverb comes from. Well over half the shelter is completely sheltered. So there's an inside area and there's an outside area.
Right.
And that the hole in the shelter represents that, you know, we are the sunniest place in New Zealand, and it's that Māori proverb back 500 years or more.
Are there a lot of bus shelters around the country that are designed to represent traditional Māori proverbs? I'm just not convinced that that's a really compelling argument to have a bus shelter that doesn't actually shelter. I mean, obviously it sounds like it makes perfect sense when he says it, but then when you think it through, hey, how come we're not gardening anymore?
Do you perceive the pastime of gardening as being under threat? Would you concur with what Dr. Hammett has to say?
It's definitely changing. So the way and the type of gardens that we are engaging with is different to what it was when I was a child. You know, I grew up on the classic quarter acre, you know, backyard. Do you know what I think might be under threat more actually than gardening is the lawn. I think the lawn is seriously under threat. You know that? Because if you think about those old quarter acre sections and how much of them was actually lawn, you know, that was mowed, like, and a lot of investment went into these large green spaces in the weekend. A lot of petrol, a lot of noise. And I think as people's gardens are getting smaller, they, you know, the lawns are great spaces and there's lots you can do on it. But often people are going, well, actually, if I have to have a smaller garden, that might be something that could shrink a bit.
Yes, because you don't want to maintain something that's just like a carpet.
No. Or do you need it like front and back as well as the other thing? Do you need it? So the front garden, the idea that you've got actually what's, you know, probably enough to build a whole house site on these days.
Yeah.
Just sitting there in this like nice lawn which sits between your street and yourself and your house, and people are going, hold on, that's really valuable space. I could do a lot there. That could be a vegetable garden.
So Xanthi White, gardener there. Endangered species, apparently. It's very hard for me to be sorry about the demise of the lawn, to be honest. I don't have, like, masses of lawn at my house, but I still have to mow it, and some of it's on a slope, and I'd just rather not. Anyway, I'd rather, and I've got gardening, the spring means there's weeds. Can we not... it's not the garden I don't like. So can we just get rid of the weeds? Can we make those? Anyway, we're going to finish up talking about road cones, which I'm not really a fan of either. Is Marcus?
They've done a situation where the reporting system works by allowing users to drop a pin on an online map, attach a picture, or even give notes on exactly where the cone is to ensure it is found. Of course, people put them up the top of trees. So they've got a campaign called hashtag reunite our cone. So this is a good idea because I've spent many days wandering around, well, months wandering around Auckland. And I've often taken photos, normally in mudflats, of thousands and thousands of traffic cones. And I've never had any response, and no one ever looks as though they've gone to actually pick them up or do anything with them. And I've often thought maybe they could put a bounty on them. But of course, if they do put a bounty on them, then people would steal them to water. So it's this online thing called Reunite Our Cones, where you take a picture of where it is and you post it on a map. I haven't done that, but I think it's an extremely good suggestion. There should be random prizes for people also. But there we go. So at least they're on to that. That's what Auckland doing. I think they're worth about $40 each, road cones. So I was excited about that.
Do you feel like they overuse road? There's too many road cones for a start. I think that's an issue. Like, I want them taken away from the roads, let alone not where they're not on the road. There are cones on a street just around the corner from my house. They've been there for months. And I get that they're needed in some places, but there's too many. There's too many lanes blocked off. It's like we've got these cones, we've got to put them somewhere. Can we just have less cones? I haven't gone as far as Marcus and just wandered around and take pictures of them, though. That seems like... I really wonder why people would spend their spare time doing that. But anyway, I wonder about most of the things Marcus does in his spare time, to be honest. I don't spend a lot of time on it. I certainly don't spend much time on it as Marcus apparently does, taking pictures of road cones that aren't on roads. It's a funny old way to finish the week, but that's how we like it, isn't it, on News Talk ZB. I'm Glenn ZB. We'll be back with the weekend edition on Monday. See you then.